Today I'm going to be speaking about fear not. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Mark. And I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verse 4. Or you can look on the screen. And again, he being Jesus, began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got in a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by many parables. Imagine being by the sea, listening to Jesus. Put yourself there. Thousands and thousands of people all over. And there's Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who created the heavens, the earth. As it says in Colossians, the worlds were formed through him. So talk about the greatest, most powerful, what do you call Jesus? God, entity here on earth, man. And here he is, and the people were locked on every word that he was speaking. And then it goes on to verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. My pillow. He should use that in his advertising. What's his name? I'm going to tell Mr. Mandel, I've got a great commercial for you. It came to me on a Sunday morning. It starts off with waves crashing over a boat, thunder, lightning, 12 people on top trying to stress in, and then they run down and Jesus is fast asleep. And the only reason he's fast asleep, because he's sleeping on one of your pillows, Mr. Linda. Picture that commercial. I think he'll say, that's brilliant. I just want 10% royalties on everything sold on that campaign. My pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Jesus, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? They must have been thinking, this guy is a rabbi. He doesn't quite comprehend the predicament we're in. Then Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So let me break it down. Let's go to Mark 4:4. And again, he began to teach by the sea. A great multitude gathered to him. He got in the boat. He sat on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea, and he taught them many things. Now, every preacher wants to be in that situation, preaching to thousands of people. In Africa, when you come to Africa, you'll see we preach to thousands of people. In Africa, they come by the thousands. In America, they stay away by the thousands. I don't know what's happening. But he's preaching to thousands of people. The disciples are excited. Everyone's getting set free. The blind are seeing. The cripples are walking. The deaf are hearing. People that are stressed, people that are depressed, people that are suicidal are getting set free. Everyone's having a great revival. And it helps when the revival leader is the Son of God. Amen. And here they're having the time of their life. They finish the service, and then Jesus goes and spends some time with his Father. It says here in Mark 4, verses 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over the sea to the other side. They're like, what? We haven't revival. So many great things are happening. But Jesus had spent time with his Father and he got an assignment from his Father. Many times when everything's going so well, you want to stay in that environment. You want to stay at your company. You want to stay over there. You want to live there. Oh, I want to live there. Like Jonah, I don't want to go to Tarsus, to Nineveh. I want to go to Tarsus. I don't want to go and preach. I want to go on holiday. I love this company. Oh, this is the best company. But maybe the Lord wants you to start your own company. So Jesus is enjoying his service. He's setting people free. But God speaks to him to go somewhere else. So in our lives, we need to be listening to the Lord's instructions. Where does he want you to go? What does he want you to do? Who does he want you to speak to? What company does he want you to invest in? What company does he want you to take your money out of that company and invest in a new startup company called Amazon? And he wants you to take all your money, your $3 million out of a company called Enron, which is really doing so well. Oh, I had $300,000 in Enron and now it's $3 million. Wow. Lord, is this really you? Yes, it's you. And you take your money out of Enron and the next week the company collapses and you stick your money in this thing called Facebook. Facebook? What the heck? Facebook? Amazon? SpaceX? Tesla? It doesn't make sense, but if you're spending time with the Lord, it makes sense. Amen? So why did Jesus leave? Because God knew that there was a man that had to be set free. And although this man was facing an insurmountable oppression, he was vexed by demons. He was tormented. He was hated. He lived in the cemetery. He was a man known as the man of the Gadarenes. And Jesus knew that he had to go there to set the man free because that man also had a mission. So not only are we meant to do what God wants us to do, but there are other people waiting at the other end of our obedience. We meant to be somewhere next week, next month, next year, and the people that we are meant to impact then and there are people that the Lord wants to use to also make an impact. So first of all, you need to be impacted. I need to be impacted by Jesus. And once you're impacted, he will use you to impact others. And then those people that are impacted are going to impact others. And so on and so forth. Now, when they left the multitude, verse 36, they took him in a boat, and as he was, and other little boats were with him. I can just picture Jesus being in the main boat and all the other boats, maybe the paparazzi. Jesus was preaching, and hey, I hear Jesus is preaching at 12 o'clock. Okay, let's take our yacht. Let's take our boat. Let's go and listen to what he has to say. The word got out to the press. Jesus, Yeshua, he's going to be doing a miracle crusade, send all the reporters, send all the journalists. Then they got there, we can't get close, we can't hear what he's saying. Okay, let's run down and hire some boats and let's listen to what Jesus has to say. Okay, that's not in the Bible. I'm just... So now, it's the very same day. That's what actually amazed me when I was looking at it last night. He has this great meeting and then he tells his disciples at night, hey, we need to actually cross over and encounter someone. It's nighttime. So this wasn't like, okay, tomorrow, next week. This was a matter of urgency. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat, and it was already filling. Surprise, surprise. Who do you think caused the storm? Jared, it's global warming. Oh, please. Read the Bible. This thing called humanity, the world, doesn't end with global warming. It ends with the rapture and Armageddon, okay? So who do you think sent the storm? Who do you think has sent the storms that you've experienced in your lives? Storms in your marriage, storms with your kids, storms with your finances, storms at work, storms with your health. It's the devil. And currently, we're going through a storm in the world. Can you see the storm? Who's the master puppeteer touching the hearts of the evil people, the evil politicians, the evil terrorists? As we are led by the Holy Spirit, they are led by demonic forces. They spend time with their father, Lucifer, as we spend time with God, our Father. This is war. And sometimes the world feels like it's a lunatic asylum and the inmates are in charge. And some of the inmates are in charge. Isaiah 5 verses 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Do you know anyone like that? They call in evil good. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, seeing what's happening in Israel right now, you look at some networks, you'll think these Israelis, these Israelites, these Jews are the worst scum vermin of the earth. And these are American networks. They've shown all the devastation that's happening and stirring up people, stirring up hate, anti-Semitism towards Jews around the world. And then you look at the conservative, quote-unquote, presenters that you can see some of them are Christian and conservative, and you would think like one of them is lying. It's like you put a kid who's 8 years old who knows nothing what's happening, and to look at both networks, that you show them one and they'll hate the Jews, and then you show them another and they'll say like, what's happening? Because it's people that call evil good and good evil. So let us not be surprised when we see these people lie. They're liars. Remember, Satan is the father of all lies. Even Jesus said to some of the Pharisees, you're like your father, the devil, who's a liar from the beginning. He's a deceiver. So let us not be surprised when they lie, when they deceive. They're doing what comes naturally. They've given themselves over. So when you read the book of Romans, it basically says some people have gone so far, they've actually given themselves over to a debased mind. Some people, like, I hate to say it, but are unreachable. They're so over on the dark side with the dark forces. Not only do they believe, but now they're spewing out that evil. So the boat was filling up. It looked like it was a bad situation. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that's what was happening in the boat. The waters were filling. The expert fishermen that were some of his disciples, it's like, mayday, mayday, we are sinking, we are sinking. Have you seen that ad? Just a little sidebar. So it's a commercial for language, right? So the scene is it's where they have all the radars of the sea, and it's a German Coast Guard room. So the older Coast Guard radar person is showing the junior guy, and he's talking German, radar, and then the guy's like that, and then there's a mayday call from an American ship. Mayday, mayday, we are sinking, we are sinking. Mayday, mayday, is there anyone out there? We are sinking, we are sinking. Help us. And then the guy says, hello, this is a German Coast Guard. What are you thinking about? Okay, I lost you guys. I'm not going to tell jokes on that night. Don't worry. Steve is telling the jokes. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We are not the victims. We are the victors. So when the enemy comes in like a flood to our schools, to our lives, to our family, to our kids, to our health, to our finances, God will raise up a standard, and his standard is his word. The Bible says, rebuke the devil and he will flee. Resist him, the Bible says. And the Bible says, whatever you decree will come to pass. So whatever I say is going to happen. I say it and God backs me up. Cancer, get out of my body in the name of Jesus. Poverty, leave my family now. We are tithers. We are givers. I rebuke you. I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Take your hands off my finances now in Jesus' name. Satan, I rebuke you. Take your hands off my son. Take your hands off my daughter. I pray that their spiritual eyes will be opened. They will see that Jesus is the Messiah. They will hate those drugs. They'll hate sipping that alcohol. I pray that as they sip it, it will taste like vinegar. I pray that as they puff that drug, it will be the most disgusting taste in their mouth in Jesus' name. I'm decreeing it. God's going to back me up. John 10, 18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me, but I lay my life down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So the reason why Jesus could be so relaxed in the stern, he knew that his death for us was going to be death by crucifixion, not death by drowning. And when you are secure in the Lord and you know what he's called you to do, and he's promised us 120 years. When the devil comes at you, when you're 23, 33, 73, 83, 93, 103, you just rebuke him and say, Satan, the word of the Lord says, I have been promised 120 years. And you may be 113 years old and you get struck by something and, oh, you know, I've lived a good life. I'm just going to let this thing consume me. No, get healed for the next 7 years and do 7 more years of praying, encouraging, tithing, giving. And they woke Jesus, said, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Let me read you some fear not scriptures. There's quite a few, so just listen up. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, it's not to mean you're not concerned and you don't feel anxious. But that's when you have to step into faith. Step out of fear into faith. Step out of the fear zone into the faith zone. How do you step into the faith zone? Believing God's word. He said he's with me. And if he's with me, we're going to get through this thing. Psalm 56, verses 3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Psalm 94:19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Psalm 23, verses 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? So God is commanding us to be courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 35, verses 4, tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in the Old Testament. Isaiah 41, 13 and 14, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord. Psalm 46, verses 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 118, 6 and 7, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Psalm 34, 4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and freed me from my fears. Deuteronomy 3, 22, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God himself will fight for you. Revelation 1, 17, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I'm the first and the last. And Zephaniah 3, 17, the Lord your God is in your midst. A victorious warrior. Woo! He will exalt you over with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. God is my warrior. If you saw who was backing you up, you would be so bold. You would be so confident. I remember in Khayelitsha in South Africa, I've told you guys before, we were doing a school campaign. And a gang invaded the school. Gunshots went off. I saw some of them on that side, some of them on that side. All the kids were in the middle. In a second, like, what's going to happen? Are kids going to die? Are they going to get, like, slashed with these pangas, which are like, what do you call them here? Machetes. And as they came in, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm preaching the gospel. Gunshots go off. The girls started screaming so loud. And guess what? We have it all on camera. Because we were filming for our TV show. So I don't know. I'll try to get it's on. We've got so many hard drives over 15 years. But I'll try to find it for you and show you. We showed it in South Africa on our TV show. So everyone's screaming. And in a second, I took authority. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I come against you in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. Get out in Jesus' name. Kids ran into the classrooms. Kids are screaming. This gang tormented them for like 15 minutes. The army came. The police came. The military came. Helicopters circling. And after like 7 minutes, this gang ran out. Not one kid was injured. Not one kid was hurt. Why? Because my warrior was there. And I rebuked the devil. It's like when you rebuke the devil and his demons, it's like they're handcuffed. It's like a thing is put on their mouth. And those evil demonic spirits that are controlling their children, that are doing the evil, the shooting, the killing, the massacring, these terrible shooters that kill everyone, they're possessed by demons. Come on. Oh, they mentally, yeah, they are mentally, but trust me, they're demons, nefarious. He's saying, kill them, shoot them, kill them, kill them, kill them. They're hiding over there, hunt them down. When you hear how some people butcher some people and stab them 50, 60 times, do you think that's normal? It's a demon. But guess what? When that evil comes against us, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Now, if you have a gun, use it. If you have a weapon, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Boo, 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 boo. 100%, 100%. Turn the other cheek, Brother Jared. Mm-hmm. We'll debate that scripture after. The guy, he's going down. We're sending him into eternity. It says here, Jesus arose. They woke him up, but the pillow was so comfortable. What's wrong with you guys? I was dreaming a great dream of Eternity Church and Save the World Foundation leading hundreds of millions of souls. Why did you wake me? He awoke. He arose. The warrior arose, and he's arisen in your life. You have to let God be God in your life. Let him fight your battles. But Lord, I want to help you. I really, let him fight your battles. And he got up, he looked at the storm, but he wasn't looking at the natural storm. He was looking at the principality, the demonic entity that brought the storm. And he rebuked it and he said, peace, be still. I want to encourage you, have Jesus in your boats. You want to have Jesus in your boats. You want to have Jesus in your life. You want to have Jesus in your marriage. You want to have Jesus in your business. Amen. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He can calm the storms of life. Little storms, big storms, it doesn't matter. He is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace and resolution and reconciliation and restoration and all the Asians. So, there are two things, and I'm going to close with this. There are two things we need to feed ourselves on to get ready for this battle of coming against fear. Number one is reading the Bible. We always said it's a no-brainer. Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So it says here in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So you need to be speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. You shall meditate in it, the word, day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when you know what your rights are, it's easy to be bold. When you don't know what your rights are, that's when the enemy can manipulate you. So reading the word, hearing the word, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing And that's what's happening today. You hearing the word, hearing the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that word hearing is in the continuous text. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until you're brainwashed. We all need to be brainwashed because our brains are dirty, right? And then praying. Jude 20, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So for those of you that have your heavenly language, tongues, pray in tongues. For those of you that haven't yet been received this heavenly spiritual language, pray in your natural language. And the most powerful prayers are the word of God over your situation. Mark 4:41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, these were the disciples. One preacher called them the marvelettes, because whenever Jesus did something, it says they marveled. Jesus and the marvelettes. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And remember, they faced this chaos because Satan didn't want Jesus to reach the man of the Gadarenes. And I won't go into that whole sermon, but basically, when Jesus set this man free, he became a radical evangelist. First, he said, Jesus, can I follow you? So he wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to be in Jesus' connect group. But Jesus says, no, you can't be my connect group. We'll have a relationship, but I want you to be an evangelist. And the Bible says he went to the Decapolis, which was 10 cities in the region. He went to Irvine, Costa Mesa, Fountain Valley, Orange, Placentia, Anaheim, Anaheim Hills, Yorba Linda, Mission Viejo, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, Seal Beach, Laguna Niguel, Carlsbad, Lake Forest, Ladera Ranch. This guy was like a major evangelist. So sometimes the devil knows that your cousin is going to be a great evangelist. Your third cousin's going to be a great pastor, but Lord, he's on drugs. Your nephew's going to be great in the kingdom, but Lord, he's in prison. What? Cousin Vinny? Uncle Luigi? Brother Chung? Brother Berkowitz? Yeah. Green collar crime. What? White collar crime. You're thinking, how did the Jewish guy land up in prison? So God will use you like he used Jesus to reach the man or the woman of the Gadarenes. Someone that you work with, he wants you to reach them. Amen? So when all hell breaks loose, why is it breaking loose? That's why it's breaking loose. Don't be surprised. And when you know the enemy's strategy, then you're not going to be surprised. Oh, this is why this is happening. Like when the Lord showed me in 2008, he's going to give us a farm. Someone's going to buy us the farm in Cape Town. Do you think the devil really wanted me to have a farm? Do you think he really wants to have a farm raising up thousands and thousands and thousands of evangelists? And now Jared's going to tell them to go all over the world, every city, every town, every village, every nation. We're going to lead 1 billion souls. Let's go for it, boys and girls. Then we get the farm. Do you really think he wanted us? So the owners were influenced by forces. They tried to sell it to everyone else. But guess what? Everyone else couldn't raise the money. And it was like they were forced to sell it to us. But we stayed in faith. Two people were like serious buyers. And it's like the three of us, three or four of us, it's like, you know what? I'm looking at other farms, but I really believe this is the one. I just know this is the one. Even ones that are more expensive are not as good as this one. This one is perfect for a world evangelism headquarters training, evangelism students, venue. We can build the amphitheater and have 10,000 people on the farm. We can have a 5,000 revival tent. This is where we can do all the accommodation. It's like it was so perfect. And we stayed in faith. And when they eventually got back to us, the realtor for the owner came back to us. And this is a lesson, have the right person as your negotiator. So I know Charlie's, you don't want to go up against Charlie, trust me. He's the best negotiator. If you need a deal, get Charlie involved. He got like a major discount on the farm. He said, no, we're gonna teach him a lesson. They should have taken our offer. Now we're gonna drop our offer. Are you sure? Stan, who's buying us a farm, he's prepared to pay the full rate? No, we drop in the price. Sending them a message. And they went for it, even with the discounts. So if God has ordained for you to have something, stand in faith. If God has put someone on your heart who is like, it's like they're never going to, how are they going to get saved? If he's put that person on your heart, keep praying for them. Send them a DVD, send them a letter, send them an email, send them a book, send them a DVD. Like my sister, I paid her to come and watch Passion of the Christ. She's Jewish. I know how to reach the Jews. You give them a bit of an incentive. And I said, Kim, this book, it's called 23 Minutes in Hell. I really want you to read it. I don't know. And I said, I'll pay you. Okay, I'll read it. So you got to do what you got to do to get people saved. Some evangelists give away cars, give away houses, give away this, give away that to draw people to a crusade. So if you have to pay someone to come in to our Christmas service, Cousin Vinny, I really want you to come. Oh, no, you know, I go to that church. And you know he never goes to church. Oh, that's my, I go, listen, I'll pay you $100 and I'll take you for lunch. I'll be there. We got to do what we got to do to get people saved. Amen. So there's no room for fear anymore. Amen. The opposite of fear is faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you don't go to God in faith and you come to him in fear, oh God, would you, I'm not sure, please, I'm begging you, please, Lord, I promise if you do this for me. No, go to the Lord with his promises. Lord, your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Your word says this, your word says that. Lord, I'm standing on your word. Okay, that's great. Now, what does my word say? Rebuke the devil. Resist him. Submit to me and resist him. Okay. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I come against you. Ba, 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 ba. Lord, I submit to you. Okay, great. Now, stay in faith. So when you do the word works. Amen. Amen. Let's all close our eyes. Father God, thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We are not the victims. We are the victors, Father God. Because of you, you live in us, you manifest through us, Father God. We are not afraid. We are full of faith, full of expectancy, full of expectation that you are going to do great things in our lives personally, great things in our family. We thank you, Lord, that all our family members will know you and follow you in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. All your cousins, your aunties, your mom, your dad, your siblings, your nieces, your nephews, your children. We stand in faith that all our family will know you in Jesus' name. And I speak life over your marriages, blessings over your marriages and your marriages to come in the name of Jesus. Do not be afraid. The Lord has the right person for you. But you got to stay in faith. You got to believe it. You've got to trust him for that spouse. Don't let fear knock on your door. If it knocks on your door, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Fear will always have a pitch. Oh, you're getting old. You don't own your own house. You don't even own your own car. You haven't got the best job. There's always going to be some demonic voice lying to you because the devil's a liar. So don't be surprised. And when you hear that voice, say, shut up in the name of Jesus. Keep quiet, devil. I rebuke that voice. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm good looking. I'm wealthy, healthy, and blessed. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. God's hand is on me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Speak life over yourself. When it looks like your kids are so far gone and it's hard, I know it's hard. Speak life over them. Negativity may want to come out your mouth, but speak life. If you're going to say something that lines up with God's word, because then God has something to work with. Jesus said, if you have seed as small as a mustard, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it will grow into a big tree. We speak life over everyone we know, every situation we face in. You may look at your bank account. Some of you look at it once a month, once a week. Some of us look at it more often, especially us Jews, Steve. Every day we're looking at our bank accounts. Grow in the name of Jesus. And if you're a tither and a giver, it will grow. God will bless your business. He will bless your investments. People will favor you. People will give you discounts. People will say, hey, I've got this timeshare. Let me bless you. Hey, I've got this spare car. Let me give it to you. Hey, I've got this furniture. I'm not using it. I know you just got married or you're moving into. Hey, I want to bless you. Hey, I've got this extra food voucher. Someone gave it to me. I just want to bless you with it. God will get it to you. Like Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't stress. Have you ever seen a stressed bird? They tweeting, tweet, 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 tweet. Because they know their Heavenly Father will bless them. And they have little bird brains. Now, if we don't even trust the Lord for that, we have less than a bird brain. But I'm so grateful the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You have the Bible, which is a track record of God's faithfulness. He always comes through for his children. And even if you're not one of his children, come on into the family. The gatekeeper is Jesus. He's already died the most gruesome death, crucified, mocked, beaten, ridiculed, spat on, crucified, whipped 39 times, went to hell, took back the keys of death and that authority that Adam lost when he sinned, and he rose victorious and he's alive, and he gives us a new life if we follow him. But you got to open your heart to him. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And if you've never received Jesus, you can do that right now. Or maybe one time in your life you used to follow Jesus, but you haven't been living for him, you haven't been following him, but today you want to recommit your life to him. And if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time or recommit your life to him, if you're here in person or you're watching our message right now on TV or social media, if you want to receive Jesus as your Messiah, I want you to close your eyes and put up your hand and say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want you. Yes, Jesus, I need you. I can see now you're the Messiah. I can see you, the Son of God. You died for me. You rose from the dead. You can calm the storms of my life. You can give me peace. Just raise your hand to Jesus. And let's all pray this prayer together, especially those that want to make this commitment right now. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you took my sins away, that you were buried, And you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. I give my whole life to you, my spirit, my soul, and my body. Everything I am, I give to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.